Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. We are in Osceola, Iowa, down in the southern central part of the state. About to connect up with Highway 69. Today was an interesting day because I did something I'm really happy about doing, which is rather than run around this state like most people doing media, especially, you know, as we're sort of on the doorstep of the 2020 election, and go to events and talk to politicals, I went and talked to an actual human being who lives really off the beaten path to be, I mean, for them it isn't, but they're farmers, about 40 miles from here. And now I've come back to Osceola. So we're going to talk to Mark Hazelhoon, who's been a farmer, and his family have been farmers in this little region right around Eddyville. And we're going to do that in podcast 843, the Bob Davis Podcasts. And first, I want to thank Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for sponsoring these travel podcasts in this, what is turning into a massive eight-state tour of the Mid-South and Midwest United States, I guess in preparation for the 2020 presidential campaign, but more importantly, just to kind of get a sense, as I always love to do through travel, to find out what is going on and kind of get down into the guts of things and figure it out. And the same is true when it comes to plumbing. You may think that you can fix it yourself, or a guy that you know can fix it, but when it comes to the guts of plumbing, when it comes to keeping all of these systems running right in your home or business, especially these days with all the technology that's involved, when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems these days, you want reliable service. And that's why I refer you to Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, you call 612-927-6488. They go about four generations in St. Paul's Frogtown. What do they do? Ryan Plumbing and Heating does quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. For instance, if you are doing an apartment complex, if you own one of these duplexes or fourplexes, they can help you out along those lines. So remember, when it comes to keeping all your systems running right, home or business, you want reliable service. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Check them out online and give them a great review at ryanplumbing.com. And thanks, you guys, for sponsoring these podcasts.
Is there someplace you want to go that's more comfortable? You want to sit someplace?
If you go drag another chair up, we could sit in the shade over here in the back.
Let's go. That'd be great.
Well, anyway, would you get one of those chairs?
Sure.
And I'll just sit in this one.
The thing that I found when I covered the caucuses is that there are people who go to these events that seem like they're going there just to get on television, and the politicians, of course, are, and everything is staged. Yeah. And then what happens with the mainstream media is, and all media really, is they run out and they talk to these people. And I don't see too much reporting from Iowa with real Iowans and people that are actually engaged in farming or engaged in whatever it is that they're doing. I see a lot of man on the street stuff around these events.
Okay.
And so I thought, you know, as long as I'm going through here, I've been on the sort of a seven-state tour of the Mid-South and the Midwest. So I've been in Tennessee and Kentucky and Virginia and everywhere else. About tariffs and about farming and everything. So I guess I would start with, you know, tell me about your farm.
Well, I would say we're probably about as diversified as anybody. I don't have any cattle, but we have livestock, or we have horses. That's kind of our livestock. And where my wife was born and raised is over on in Mahaska County, and that's on the river bottom, which is underwater right now. So we got a little of that. Well, we're sitting up here on this hill.
So the river bottom's close.
Well, to the Des Moines River, we're about 3 or 4 miles away.
Right.
So we get to see all that. But we're about 10 miles cross country from where we used to live. And then...
Oh, because all that's in underwater.
That's
literally
underwater, yes.
Oh, my God.
So
is that, how long has that been underwater?
Well, probably for 3 or 4 weeks.
So it's
just 40 acres.
Right.
But... This is my grandma's house. I always wanted to live here, and she passed away, and we had the opportunity to buy it.
So here you are.
Here we are. And then, so then we have a little bit of, we've got corn and beans. My mom and I farm together. We got a little over 600 acres that we farm together. And she's 89, going to be 90. And then we have hay ground, which we need for our horses. And we have CRP, which the government is paying for us. And hopefully, if the government stays solvent, we'll have this farm paid off in 10 more years.
So what's CRP?
A Conservation Reserve Program.
So that makes me think of the Reagan-era PIC program, basically.
Well, no, that's not the same.
Okay.
This is for, they're paying you to stay out of production.
Okay.
That's what it amounts to. That's, anyhow, it's worked out good so far for us.
Okay.
And then hopefully by then we'll have everything paid for, and that's kind of be our, I don't have any money saved up very much, but we'll have enough that we can, if we have to, cash rent it and take that. So,
hello. Yes. Would you check the cornfields and see if we got a break out of water hemp in there? Okay. Well, I was just thinking if it's bad enough, let's go ahead and I'm just going to say right out, just use some 2,4-D on it. You'll have to look at it and decide, but that's what I saw so far. So. And I didn't get out and walk clear across the field, so I don't know. Okay, sounds good. All right. Thank you, Kent. Yep, bye. This is the wonderful thing, and the terrible thing about it is they find you anywhere. Used two-way radios when my dad passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And they just didn't work. They just...
Too many those dead family radios?
Yeah, many dead spots.
Yeah.
Just wouldn't work.
What's your take on these politicians patrolling the state of Iowa and showing... And I guess I won't answer the question. I'll just ask you what you think about... I refer to them as patrolling or crawling around Iowa to get attention.
Well, of course, we haven't had any Republicans yet. I'm not answering.
Okay.
Anyway, but the Democrats seem like they want to give everything away. And if people buy that, then I've got a bridge to sell. You know, because there's only X amount of dollars you can have.
Yeah.
And I don't care how you look at it. And I don't. You can't take it all from the rich, because the rich got... That's why they have attorneys and accountants. They'll figure out how to take care of it, so they don't have to pay very much.
But what is the opinion that you have, and maybe some of the people that you know, about all this attention that is generated every 4 years down here by... Last time it was Republicans, this time it's 24 Democrats.
Well, I think it's necessary. And for nothing else, without the Electoral College, we are nothing. We're zeros.
It's rural America.
Right, because we don't have the population. We just don't. And I understand that, but, you know, what do you do? The forefathers were smarter than we are.
Well, the thing here is that Iowa moved its caucuses up to be the first in the nation, so it gets all of this coverage.
Yeah.
And the other thing is...
New Hampshire gets a lot, too.
Yeah.
So...
Do you feel that Iowans get extra stuff, that because there's no congressman or senator that's going to run for president that wants to offend Iowans because they might have to come here someday and run for office and get, you know, in the primary?
Well, I don't know that... That makes any difference or not? I don't know that any of them, of the 20 or 21 that are running, even have a clue what's going on out here.
Well, I mean, they're all over the state. Shouldn't they? Have anybody ever knocked on your door and stopped and said, "Hey, I'm running for president. What do you think?"
No.
Really?
No. Nobody. The only place.
And you're right by that. I mean, you're right here on 137. Yeah.
Yeah. And
right off 34.
Yeah. And you know. I understand that they're going to go where they think they can get the most vote, and that's Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, and that's about the three places they hit.
Well, yeah, and that was my experience, too, that you can literally cover the entire caucuses in Des Moines. And I chose to cover a caucus that was Jefferson City. I think it's Jefferson City or Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Yeah,
that's northern Iowa.
Yeah, so I went way out from there to a really truly rural caucus.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be a good place.
Yeah. And it was really, you know, it was what it's supposed to be, because it was 110 guys.
Yeah.
And many, many farmers as well.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about these tariffs and how, you know, what's your take is just as in your business about what's going on with that?
Personally, I don't think the tariffs in this situation or this year would have made much difference one way or the other, because I think the Chinese have basically lost their hog population through that swine flu, whatever it's called. And so guess what? They're not going to need as many beans as what they were buying.
They are going to need hogs.
They're going to need some kind of meat.
Yeah.
Whatever they decide to feed their people.
I heard that they're the largest pork consumers in the world, China.
Yeah. But I don't, you know, that's where I see that we need to be focusing on, not necessarily the beans. And that was another thing I was going to mention to you.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you were wondering who represents us. Well, who usually gets a hold of a microphone is the Farm Bureau.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of them?
Well, I've heard of, I mean, you're going to have to edify me because, yes, I've heard of the Farm Bureau, but I know nothing about it.
Well, they're supposed to be a farm organization representing farmers. But the more I hear from them, the more I think my dad was right. He said that they're a big insurance company that likes to be affiliated with farmers. And you put that on there, I might get a bunch of hate mail. I don't care. I really don't care.
Well, I mean, these big institutions, and it really doesn't matter what it is, they've all got a political kind of patina about them, and they do things for political reasons. They're not necessarily, you know, representing an individual.
And see, I don't know enough about them, and I've got neighbors that participate in all their farm shows where they have conventions and things like that, and they have different things that's supposed to be for learning, you know, how we should ask our representatives and everybody to vote. And sometimes I don't think it's what I have, and it's not my best interest.
Do these guys ever, do they talk much about farm policy when they're down here?
Oh, yeah, it's a big deal.
Politicians.
It is. Yeah. Well, the politicians or Farm Bureau?
Well, not the Farm Bureau so much, but the politicians.
I'm
most interested in these, in the politicians that are touring the state. You know, I hear a lot of national politics, but I don't hear, this is a farm state. I don't hear them talking about farm stuff.
Well, see, now, that's one thing I have to give credit to Grassley and, I can't think of her name. Both of them, I think, are representing us. And it showed in their last election, they were, people saw them. They got their face out here in front of us.
Oh, yeah, I saw Grassley at more than one event last time around.
Yeah, and he's a farmer. He's the only farmer in the whole Senate. There's others maybe claim to be farmers, but he's getting old. He's 80 years old.
Yeah.
So he's getting right.
And
up
people
there.
Would call him a moderate Republican as opposed to a Tea Party Republican. What's your take on that?
Maybe. But he's, when he talks, when I hear him talk, he talks like I want to hear him say.
By the way, I want to mention that, yes, I there's a number of people to thank for contributing to the effort in this trip. And just one comes to mind right now, and that's Ben Harris from Sharp Creative, who just sent me $50. But there's a whole list of people. Thank you, Ben. You can't imagine how important those contributions are. So if you want to make one, you just go to the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Look for the big yellow donate button underneath the picture of Mobile Podcast Command parked out here in Mark's driveway, and click donate. It takes you to the PayPal interface, and you're on your way. But this is really getting me through this trip. You can't imagine. I do appreciate the likes and the shares and listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com. We're on Google Play, and we are also on Spotify, which is great for Android devices. I think Spotify works better for Android than Stitcher.com. More about that later. Again, I do appreciate the likes, but especially the shares on social media of the Bob Davis Podcast alerts. And thanks for your donations again at thebobdavispodcast.com. I'll give those out. I'll give names in detail when I get home. Also, if you're a pilot and you're going to the EAA Air Show, Let me tell you that my friend Mark Korn, who is the father of the Alpha Systems revolutionary angle of attack indicator, will be there doing his thing at EAA in Building 3, I think it is. There will be guys six deep learning about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator, which basically tells you how much lift your wing is producing for those final turns, and it helps you with those turns in takeoffs and landings. Anyway, more info about Alpha at that page, the Alpha Systems banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Okay.
I really don't even know how to classify our president, because there's some things that he's really conservative on, and then there's some of the stuff he's kind of moderate on.
Well, that's why I brought up the tariffs.
Well, I call
and the threats of tariffs.
The tariffs, I think, they're a good tool. You know, I'm kind of the point where he pulled money away from some of these South American countries. I've been saying that for 20 or 30 years. We ought to do that. These people that are trying to kill us, why do we want to keep giving them money?
So why? But I mean, what does it do to the business, the farming business?
Well, like I said, I don't think it's going to make that much difference.
Okay.
Since, at least not with China. That's what the politicians want you to.
And that's the focus.
China, 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 China.
Yeah. Well, that is the focus right now.
Right now. But, you know, like I said, if their hogs are all gone, maybe they're going to make tofu out of them. I don't know. You see what I'm saying? I just don't know.
Well, no, they're going to need pork.
They're going to need some kind of food.
So what do we do? Ship pork over there? Is that the...
I'd like to see that. I agree with that. But I don't know that... You know, my question is, how much is the Chinese government willing to spend? Because we're probably only one in the world's got a surplus of hog.
Yes,
of
we
pork,
do.
Of pork.
Right. No, absolutely. And, you know, this has been something that has been going on for a while, and people have been trying to figure out how to get the shipping and get the agreements to sell them hog.
It's the agreements.
Yeah.
Because them guys are tough negotiators. We probably have to take lessons from them. Because I had a couple friends that work for John Deere down here in Ottumwa. And they had to go to negotiate with the Japanese and the Chinese. And they said, we've never been around anybody like that. He said, they may be talking along. You think you're doing great. All of a sudden, the whole group would just get up and walk out. And just leave you sitting there. Don't tell you what's going to happen next or nothing. They just leave you. Well, they learned how to take care of it, and they've learned to negotiate with them, but it's always a struggle.
What do they tell you about how to negotiate with them?
They said you just got to stand your ground. Because they're not going to back off, so you might as well stand there. And as soon as you start giving in, that's a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
And that's why Trump's not giving in. He already knows how to negotiate.
I mean, do you feel that he has a plan for? Is there a direction in this?
Yeah, I think he does. Not saying that I know what it is, because he's thrown some curves at me. I said, you know what? No sense even trying to figure it out, because he's probably about 20 or 30 steps ahead of everybody. And all these.
God knows where he's stepping, but he is maybe 20, 30 steps ahead.
You know what I'm. You understand?
Right. What did you think? What did you? If you support, I'll just phrase it this way: if you supported Trump for in 2016, what did you think was going to be the outcome?
Well, I didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but I'm so tired of Washington D.C. politicians that you can't even imagine it, because all they're going to do is tote the party line, and they don't really care about you and me, because that's what's happened with Trump. Is there, I think the Democrats and Republicans are both working against him, because they can't control him, and that's all right with me, because I'd rather have him listen to us instead of listen to.
And you feel that he's listening to you?
I think he is listening.
How does he do that?
Well, I think he's surrounded himself with good advisors. For starters, and a lot of them, see, aren't Washington. They're people from industry that has an important role.
Of course, maybe it's a heart thing, that his heart is more with this part of the country.
That could be. I don't know. Because, you know, he's from the East Coast. It isn't like he's from anywhere from Illinois. Well, I wouldn't want him to be from Illinois. So...
Don't ever elect a president from Illinois.
That's right. Well, we almost elected Hillary.
We did elect Obama.
Yeah, but I'm just saying Hillary was.
Yes, we
from,
did.
From
Chicago.
Chicago too. So.
Well, Park Ridge, but still, I'm from Chicago. So
are,
we,
are you really?
We always qualify people.
Okay.
Unless you're from 63rd and Woodlawn, or
okay.
You know, Little Company Mary Hospital, or 75th and Loomis, or something. It, you know, people always say, well, you know, Park Ridge, Homewood, Flossmoor, whatever. So. You know, they have to identify what part of town they're from.
And see, and that's kind of the way it is. And I think Trump realized that, that New York's broke, and California's broke. So who's going to really support him? Because everybody else is standing there like this.
They well, with their hands out. Yeah. So when it comes to the caucuses, so who do you caucus with? Do you talk to the people you caucus with?
Yeah.
Even well, when you're not caucusing?
A lot of our neighbors.
So you're all neighbors?
Yeah, we're all neighbors. We kind of already know what we think.
Right.
Because we talked before that.
How many people at your caucus?
There's around 100.
Yeah.
There's around 100.
So it's not like the one in Des Moines where it was a free-for-all of Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton supporters arguing with each other. Do you look at the Democrats at all and say, you know, hey, maybe this Pete guy from South Bend's got something going on? Or
not really.
Maybe I like Kamala Harris or something.
No, not really.
I can't even. Those are the only two I can think of.
I can't think.
Joe Biden. What about Joe Biden?
Oh, Joe, jumping Joe. Well, see, he's right in there with Hillary. Well, you know what happened when Bill and Hillary in the White House? They bailed her brothers out three times. Our armed forces went over there to someplace where they were trying to run some kind of shady deal, and pulled them out of there in the middle of the night.
Oh,
where they were going to be dead now. Jumping Joe's son was trying to pull something in Ukraine.
Of course, then you got Paul Manafort pulling something in Ukraine as well.
I don't think any of them are clean as windblown snow. But, you know, who are you going to pick on? You can pick on a lot of things. And that's kind of what the media has decided. They're going to pick on anybody that agrees with Trump. And that's kind of sad. Because
do you think people care? I mean, I've been told, you know what, people are, they don't want to get beat up for wearing a MAGA hat, and they're being quiet to themselves, but they don't appreciate, they still like the president, and they don't appreciate, talking about people like around here.
They're not going to say.
Right.
Especially if somebody like you would come.
And ask.
Yeah. They would not say.
No.
And they'd probably lie to you. That's the next thing. Here we are talking about whether the Russians have caused problems with us. Well, you know what I think the Democrats pulled shenanigans with votes. They do it in Chicago, or they do it in Illinois all the time.
Yeah.
When they have dead people voting,
and nobody
for 20
talks.
Years.
Farming out here in Iowa, which is obviously agriculture is a huge piece of the state of Iowa. What's going to happen to your farm? Do you have how many kids do you have?
Two girls. I was a failure. I never passed my name on.
Well, so. You got two. I'm sure I don't know the other one, but I know Emma. She's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that there'll be family interest in maintaining the farm?
That I don't know. And I've told Emma this. My mom and dad, they got theirs set up in a trust. And that's how I'm going to set this up. I'm going to make it so they can never sell it. Because if I do, they might end up with a knot-headed husband that sees a bunch of money. And I don't know if you know anything about when people come on to large amounts of money.
Oh, yeah.
Usually it lasts from 5 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if they keep the ground, and I told Emma this, I said, if you only get $1,000 a year out of it, if you can get somebody to manage it, or if you want to manage it and take and split it, you know, half and half, or however you guys decide to do it, but don't sell it, and then just...
Is it getting harder and harder for individual farmers, what we would call independent farmers?
I would say, well, it is if you think you got to keep up with Joneses.
So if you have to keep adding and growing and farming larger and larger acreages.
Buy new machinery.
Yeah.
Some people think it's necessary to buy. And, well, I'll give you an example. In 1966, my dad bought a 4020 John Deere, which is 90 to 100 horsepower tractor. Well, today, that same tractor, even though it does have front wheel assist and a nice cab, it's over $200,000. Well, I can't afford $200,000. I just can't. So why do I kid myself and keep making payments? And these guys are paying $10,000 an acre for farmland. I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know what's right and what's wrong, but at least they're not going to sell me out, and I could see that happening, and especially this year where everything's shorthanded unless the government comes up with some kind of a program to bail some of these farmers out. And some of these big guys don't deserve to be bailed out because they've made up their mind to get big.
Well, I'm sure that's the other part of the conversation. If I was talking to a big farmer, it would be
They think you ought to be safe.
I need to get bailed out.
Yeah.
I'm too big to fail.
See, here's the we got some neighbors down here for Stags, and there's I think there's 12 now. 12 relatives are all working together, and they've got quite a few cattle on feed, and they've got a lot of hogs on feed, and they farm about 5,000 acres. Well, I don't feel too bad about them. You divide that all up 12 ways.
Right.
And it's...
Plus, they got plenty of help.
Well, and then they got help they can rely on.
Right.
That's the secret of it, is the help you can rely on. And these guys have got 25,000 acres. I don't know who they're getting to farm for. I really don't. And I just couldn't do that in my mind and think I'm going
to
justify what I'm doing.
That brings up another question, which is, who are they getting to farm for? Well, do you have a problem with illegal immigrants up here in
Well, that kind of went away when that girl from, I can't think of the name of the town, it's north of Oskaloosa, kind of northeast, and I can't think of it. She was running and this illegal alien killed her.
Oh?
And he was working at a dairy. And that place is closed down. They couldn't get nobody to work for him.
So was that part of the Trump crackdown? Did that happen before that?
Well, that happened during Trump. It was last year, I think.
Oh.
But I guess that place is closed down. And see, we have a big dairy over here, Etcher Farms. They're paying these guys nothing to...
Well, I mean, minimum wage here is better than pennies in Guatemala. Most of the illegal immigrants are from Guatemala and Honduras. They're not from Mexico.
They're not from Mexico.
Which I think is really interesting.
Are you the one calling me?
Yeah. And I went by, and at first I thought, whoa, and I turned around and couldn't find out.
Well, I'm being interviewed. See, he just retired last year, him and his brother. So, and I'm so fortunate to have him helping me. Since I've had my
health
problems.
So again, this help you can rely on.
Yes.
But I mean, were there a lot of Latin Americans up here, years ago?
Not that many. There was milking.
I think there's more Latinos up here than you realize.
Yeah, but they were between Ottumwa. Between Ottumwa, and that's a packing house. And if they were paying like they used to, and people worked at Morrell's, what was the original meat packing plant down there in Ottumwa, they wouldn't have no problems getting people to work there. But they want to pay them as little as they can. That's their.
So that's the draw.
I think that's big farm. Same way, big farm.
Yep.
Not just like this big dairy now that the news is about. They're saying, well, the dairy industry in general is that way. No. If it's a small dairy, it's a family dairy.
Yeah.
Them people don't abuse their animals. I used to be a dairyman. We milked 80-some cows. My brother and I and our families. We didn't beat our cows. We didn't throw calves. We didn't do that.
So when you get into industrial farming, not family farming.
Yeah.
And you guys are family farmers, basically.
Yeah.
So when I say industrial farming, you know exactly what I'm talking about. What's your name?
Leo Velheisen.
What do you think of the tariff situation and all that? What's any you're retired now, so you're probably glad you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Well, like, people got to make money if I want to work too, part time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The same situation, but with what he's doing now, I mean, like he's putting more tariffs on. Let's sit down at the table and let's negotiate. People don't do that anymore.
Well, my question is the Chinese going to negotiate with you? They're thinking they're going to wait us out.
And we're going to wait them out.
I don't think there's too many people over there. They can't wait out anybody.
He just said, well, they. What did you say? They lost most of their hogs.
Yeah, their hogs are about gone.
Yeah, their hogs are now gone because of that African swine flu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they don't care if some of their people die.
I think they'd probably be happy about it.
Well,
that's
$600 million or how many?
Billion. They have a billion people.
Yeah, but then see their younger people and stuff, since they started being modernized and manufacturing, well, they've left the rural and they've all migrated to their cities.
Well, that's what they've done here too.
And then people are demanding a better living.
Yeah.
They want something
to do.
Their lifestyle, they're wanting it to go up now. They're wanting wages.
They want to work for Facebook.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, what's the best thing about living out in the country?
Just right now.
It is beautiful.
You can sit here, you can relax, you can do your thing, you can do your own thing.
What I like about it is I don't care for winter anymore, but in the spring, everything's new. Yeah. The grass comes up green and it's been brown and yet white or whatever. And then you get to see all these little animals running around, you know, whether it's a calf or a horse or birds or,
anything.
Yeah, it just.
Rabbit, anything.
Yeah.
It's just a new birth again.
Yep.
That's what I always liked about farming. I just put the seed in the ground and here it comes, you know. And then you've got that satisfaction of getting it in.
It's letting it grow,
and then in the fall you harvest it, you know, and yeah.
As the old farmer said, if you get out of our way and give us some time, we'll give you some food.
There you go.
Right, which is pretty amazing.
Well, politicians, as far as I'm concerned, it's gotten way out of hand.
Yeah, I agree with
that. And it doesn't matter what level it is on, it just seems like they're a block here and a block here, and there's nothing. There's no compromise anymore. It's my way or the highway.
Yep.
And you cannot govern, but what I really object to is the way the people in this country is treating the president. I don't care if it was a Democrat or whoever it is. He's in office. Respect the office and the man that's in the office. If you got differences, you sit down and you work them out. But don't do what they're doing now. I said, this is not right.
Thanks again to Mark and Leo for spending their time, their precious time with me on this beautiful day in rural Iowa. Heading back through Iowa and Minnesota for the final leg of this fantastic 8-state tour. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast 843.
Mark,
okay.
And that's Leo.
Leo, okay.
And this is Don.
Bob.
Bob. I'm terrible at
me. Me too. That's why I had to ask.